Hi, I'm John.
Hi, I'm Olivia.
Hi, I'm Mike McMahon.
And this week, we've watched The Game's Death of Triskelion, and now we're going to argue about whether it's going to make us quit Star Trek.
It felt like this episode was less about slavery and more about BDSM. I would like Gene... On record, I would like Gene to be subpoenaed from
Gene
wherever
didn't
his
write this
soul
episode.
Rests. I Gene don't care. His influence is there.
What was this episode about? This episode changed gears 7 times, and none of those gears were a very high gear.
It was like, sometimes you watch an episode and you're like, was this written by a committee? And it's like, no, this is written by one person. This is all one person's fault.
Who is responsible? Because I actually kind of want to praise them in a way.
Who? Guys, listen.
Margaret Armin.
It's hard to write an episode on a typewriter. You have to go back. You have to use whiteout. You can't just delete stuff. So it's easier just to keep it all in. Am I right?
Is this
how we're going to exonerate the entirety of the 60s? They get away with it a lot.
It's all about the typewriters. I mean, it's very important that for the listeners, I just need to make sure that
he just opened his deodorant. He's applying his deodorant now.
It's not deodorant.
It's
Belgian Weiss beer, which is generally what an original series episode requires.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That actually looks delish, and it's kind of rude you didn't ship one to all of our houses.
Yeah, it's
how dare.
Well,
replaces the B story. That's the B and B story they should have had in this episode.
I mean. Mike, you're an expert in B stories. Why doesn't this episode have a B story?
You know, I'm glad you asked that. A lot of TOS has no B stories. Like the prime of B stories in Star Trek really hit in TNG, you know, and I'm here for the B stories. So I will say, you get into the halfway point of one of these episodes and you kind of check the time on the rest, and there's always a slight, like, your spine contracts a little and you're like, really? There's another entire half an episode just repeating this stuff? But it's almost a cadence you get used to with the TOS era stuff. At least they were cutting back to the ship on this one.
Yeah, I mean, that mainly consists of Scotty, Spock, and Bones basically with one brain cell going around between them being like, what the hell are we doing now?
Spock had some zingers in this one, though. I do. Even in
great.
A not, right? He's just lovable. He really is a winner in, like, not even a great episode. And people love this episode, by the way, right?
What?
It's iconic.
I actually love the episode. No. We get sassy Spock, we get nothing. Grumpy McCoy, and we get Lady mm-hmm. Gaga.
Nothing yes. happens.
Did you read Lady Gaga's Wikipedia bio entry after watching this? Because it's a sad thing to read.
Oh no. I did not.
Yeah. Well, she had a big comeback when the motion picture came out, but she did like about a lot of B movies and downhill from there. But then there's some she made use of it's a pretty iconic costume. Like, we've seen this one before. It was interesting. I've seen a lot of GIFs of this episode, but I don't remember the last time I watched it all the way through.
It's a bit, what's the word? Yeah, it is an episode you spend a lot of time checking to watch it, because like,
I watched it on 1.5 speed, so it was perfect.
Oh, the battle, the fights must have been amazing for you.
Yeah. The fights were somehow still very, very slow. But, you know, Shatner is a combat genius. We can't take that away from him.
Everything in this episode moves at the speed of William Shatner. Like, okay, we know he can run 60 yards, so that's how far we're going to film him running. Great. Like, we know the set long. We know he can run for this far. Fantastic.
I mean, look, it's a Desilu production. You can't hate on it too hard for stuff like the physical sets and the goofy costumes. I did think it was funny that they just had that haunted mansion gate. Just like, it's a planet with a gate, you know, and that they're like, that's enough. That's going to be enough for us. I was also confused because, like, when they blinked away from the transporter at the beginning of the episode, you expect them to be going down to their regular set, which they do. And it almost takes you as long as the Enterprise crew to figure out that's not even the planet they're near, because they all look identical.
Yeah. Oh, God. Man.
I liked the gate. It made it feel like a sort of a fever dream.
It was a bit Adam's Family.
It's definitely a gate they had. That's got to be a lot of that era of Star Trek is, what do we got? What's in storage and what can we put here?
I'm just thinking about the day the guy went to the storage and found an Nazi costume from Hogan's Heroes and they went from there. That's a bad day. If I'd found an Nazi costume in storage, I'd have put them back. But here we are.
We're in a different era. They were a lot closer to the Nazis. So for some reason, like, that was cooler to put in TV shows all the time. Now it's way less cool. But yeah, I mean, it's wild how many Nazi costumes showed up.
Stormfront, Enterprise.
Oh yeah.
Does it happen again?
It happens in like the 2000s. Yeah.
Well, the 2000s were a bad time for everyone involved. So.
And I don't trust them in the era they were in the 2000s, particularly for most of Enterprise, to do anything like that. I don't know. I can't wait to see that.
It's weird to think that like the next episode after this one is the Chicago Gangster Planet episode. And that was only 40 years after Chicago Gangsters were rocking around Chicago.
This would be like if you did a Lower Decks episode where they get trapped in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will be suing for IP if I see that in season 4. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know where we'd get them trapped. I don't know what era would even make sense. I feel like we'd have to get them trapped in an era that other Starfleet officers went to, and then they're hiding from those Starfleet officers, right?
You could get them trapped in the set of... Yeah, Britain in the 90s. They get trapped in a Britpop advert or something.
Oh, yeah. They're like, they get trapped somewhere I know nothing about. So it's like, additionally, on top of being very Star Trek and weird, it's like, Mike doesn't even know anything about this.
This episode of Lower Decks, guest stars Princess Diana.
Yeah. You won't believe how it ends. See, you're going to get me fired. You guys are going to get me fired.
If we are going to get you fired. There's quicker ways to get you fired. Let's move away from those. So, Mike, I'm sure you've been asked this 1,000 times. Why do you like Star Trek? Why are you here? Why do you make one of the most popular Star Trek shows on television right now?
Let me answer that last one first. Why do I make one of the most popular Star Trek? Because I'm lucky. I think I was making a Star Trek for me and getting away with it, like a get out of jail free card. Not everybody gets handed a make whatever Star Trek you want. So I made exactly the one I would like. And then other people liked it, which was really, really lucky that you guys all like it. I think I love Star Trek because it's like another friend group, another family group for me. Like, I grew up watching it with my mom when I was a kid. And then, you know, I went in and out of it my whole life. I watched it. And then I went to college where I didn't have a TV. There was no satellite or cable or Star Trek airing on campus. This was pre them figuring out you could put videos on the internet. So, you know, I wasn't watching anything like that. Graduated and watched Enterprise, caught up with that, moved out to LA and, you know, was in a new city and was scared and didn't know what I was doing and was panicked and, you know, was watching. And that was when Star Trek came out on DVD. So I was like watching Deep Space Nines I'd never even heard of before. And like, you know, getting to Star Trek didn't used to be a completionist thing. There are so many people who, like, you know, you see on Reddit or online are just like, yeah, I just watched every Star Trek. It used to be really hard to do that and really, really expensive. You know, now you pay like $6 to Paramount Plus. You can watch every Star Trek ever made. You know what I mean? It's different.
If the app works for you, you know.
Occasionally the app works. You gotta hold a fan against your phone. But anyway, just kidding, Paramount Plus. Love you guys. So I think like it's always been for me, like I just love being in the world of Star Trek, whether it's a good episode or a bad episode or a movie or a TV show. Like I like the escapism of being in that world. And now that we have like 800 episodes of it, like it is just, there could just be a Star Trek channel that it's always, there are, you know, that are like on some apps that like, I like that being a susurrus around me, like just being in that tone of like, I love sci-fi and I love respectful, capable characters that support each other. And I just think that like, you know, getting to make fun of that lovingly is why I was really lucky with Lower Decks. I've said this so many times, you guys. I'm so sorry. Anybody tuning into this is like, whoa, Mike likes Star Trek? What?
Whoa! Who'd have known?
It's actually frowned upon by our audience.
Yeah, our audience generally suspicious of you if you're like, I love Star Trek. Why are you here then? I mean, yeah, it's such a, you know, was there a quit moment you remember watching Star Trek?
I mean, younger? Mostly I'm here because Olivia is so funny on Twitter. When I told my producer, Brad Winters, who I've worked with for years, I was coming on this podcast. He's like, wait, why do I know that? And I was like, it's Gene's Visions podcast. And he was like, oh my God.
If he wants to come on, send us a message. We love people.
I'm so sorry that I'm even mildly known. I apologize.
So it's really funny how everyone's like, oh, you know, Olivia's great. And I'm just sort of like, I'm here.
You are the trip. What is it? The Trip Tucker Sprinkles, John.
Yeah.
On the
You need to more vocally yell at me on Twitter for me to like you as much as I like you.
I vocally yell at Thomas Barone on Twitter and sometimes John Van Sitters, but that's for other purposes.
I yell at John Van Sitters too. That does unite us.
Yeah, but you yell at him. I just yell at him in the sense that I can't really describe because it might get me sued.
John Van Sitters just sent me.
Roasted me the other day.
You roasted John Van Sitters. I've been subtweeted at by Mike Okuda.
John sent me something.
It's happened a lot to you, actually.
What?
John sent me this thing the other day that I can't tell if it was a gift or if he's fucking with me, where this giant box shows up at my house and it's a huge black wooden frame with, I think, like 24 or 30 TOS shot glasses in it and a big picture of the original Enterprise in the middle. And it was a thing they used to have in storage that you would have to subscribe to it and they would send you the frame. And then if you stop subscribing, you wouldn't have all the Star Trek shot glasses that filled the frame. And now it's in my office and the sound it makes when I trip on it, cause it's so big and I have a 4-year-old. There's nowhere for me to put 24 shot glasses in this house. Like it's such a monolith to Star Trek collectability. And I think JVC was messing with me when he sent it to me.
That's a bit like, you know what it reminds me of? I don't know if you've ever watched the Britain's Worst Television Show, Top Kid. There's a gag in that where they're on a road trip and they buy each other increasingly difficult presents, like priceless art, china, a cello. It feels like
hard
that.
To carry around. Hard to travel in.
Is like a extremely heavy, very large pewter model, very delicate model of the USS Enterprise.
It's a good idea. If anybody has one, it's too large
to be put anywhere.
He has sent me great stuff too, but the amount of shot glasses in my house, I would really have to want to drink out of a Chekhov shot glass for this to make a lot of sense.
You have a Chekhov shot glass to say you have a Chekhov shot glass.
Yes. Yeah. Like that's the main reason I'm here. She was doing Lower Decks before I was doing Lower Decks. If you followed her Twitter feed. But I feel like a terrible hanger on.
It's based on my life. Many aspects of my life have been portrayed on
obviously an auto era biographical series. I'm glad you noticed. You know, we put a lot of Easter eggs in there. Olivia Easter eggs.
Basically a documentary. True Olivia was an absolute knife to the back, honestly. How dare my beautiful name.
First day we sat down, we're like, what does Olivia like? She likes blast shields. What does she not like? Packlets. All right, we'll build off of that. We'll build the show off of that. Why am I here with you guys? You know, nobody hates Star Trek more than people who love Star Trek.
Exactly.
Nobody, like somebody who doesn't know Star Trek as well as all of us might watch 5 minutes of a Star Trek and turn it off. We're not doing that. We're going to watch the whole goddamn episode, you know, and you're going to watch it again, probably at some point. Like there's a lot of shows we've only seen one episode of and you don't like it. And you know what you don't do? Think about it for the rest of your life and like make it your whole identity. Well, but that's not
that's
an option
Star
for
Trek's
us.
Ability to haunt us and traumatize us.
I mean, I've seen Code of Honor 6 times.
Apologize.
Like, come on. Yeah. I've seen Code of Honor like 6 times. I don't think that's healthy.
No, we all have to live in Code of Honor.
The time I watched it in my initial watch and the time for this podcast.
I don't know why I've seen it 6 times. I know I've seen it at least 3 times. And I think it's about 6. Because that's,
you know,
I've watched the first season of TNG at least 6 times.
We're a strong fandom. You know what I mean? Like Star Wars fans, yeah, you guys have the Christmas special. You want to know how many fucking Christmas special level episodes of Star Trek there are? Yeah.
At least 83.
But you know what? That doesn't mean that like a bad episode of Star Trek still has great shit in it. You know what I mean? And like, it helps define how great this thing is, like that Star Trek is a medium, that you can have just nasty, terrible ass episodes, and then like episodes that make you cry that you love. And like, you know, it's fun for us. Like we're all making fun of this. And, you know, I've listened to your guys' podcast before. Like you're having a blast talking about Star Trek on this podcast, even when you're truly tearing apart an episode, which is, that's part of the honor of being a fan of this franchise.
I mean, I was thinking that about this episode, even when TOS leaves me bereft of joy and hope for the world, I'm still kind of down. They played the nice little music. It made me feel nostalgic.
Yeah,
it was for a time I didn't exist.
I think I was trying to think of the best, most like peak Star Trek moment in this, and it's them playing the music from the really amazing speech in Mirror Mirror about Revolution over Kirk talking about having a shack. Like it's you know, in every revolution there is one man, but it's Kirk going, you gotta kiss me. It's what humans
equally think. Noble endeavors, you know, who are you to judge?
I think out loud I said, I made my wife watch this with me, and I think out loud I said, she was in the room, and I was like, she laughed when she walked in, and I was like, that part came up where Kirk is giving that speech, and I think I said, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing here, guys? Like, this is the first time I've seen this episode since I became a Star Trek writer showrunner. And I had notes. Like, it wasn't just, am I enjoying it or not? I was like, guys, I think we can beat this. Like, I think we need to rewrite this scene.
I
want to see Boimler do that speech just because I just want to hear Jack Quaid try to put his heart into that.
Oh my, somebody would pick him up and throw him. Like,
yeah.
That's what separates a Kirk from a Boimler, is a lot harder to throw Kirk. You need a guy who's holding still so his fake tusks don't fall off of his mouth. That guy was a treat in this episode.
That was great. There was an Andorian amazing in this episode. Like, there are
the back Andorians. Of an Andorian.
Face once, but there are only three episodes of Andorians in Star Trek, and this is one of them in the original
series. I didn't even notice the Andorians. I'm so sorry.
I was about to say, Olivia, I told my wife, ooh, there's an Andorian in this episode, because I looked it up beforehand. And afterwards, she was like, the Andorian never showed up.
Yeah, I saw Lisa Simpson. I saw Lady Gaga. I saw the Orc
She did look like Lisa Simpson.
It's like the Andorian's car was late. It was like, you've been sitting in traffic. So we're just like,
no way. That Andorian told everybody he was in a Star Trek episode. He has a big scene where Kirk tells him about sex and how great it is. And then they edited it out.
How devastating.
There is just too much sex in this episode. I mean, the whole Uhura thing, just like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was so excited to see Uhura was beaming down. And then almost immediately I realized, oh no, this is a disaster.
That scene is what we thought it was, right?
Yeah, no, that's an attempted sexual assault.
It was attempted though. They stopped, right?
Yeah, they do stop.
Because like feeding time starts, but that was unclear. I have notes.
It was unclear. It was unnecessary. They bring her out like they do with many Star Trek episodes with women to just have her have some trauma.
Oh my God. That was way over the line. Like,
it was really weird.
We started off fighting in a triangle that had been clipped off on the little tippies. I can get behind that, but what are we doing, guys?
I look at my notes and I can just basically say, there's just too much.
I'd love to see the face of the podcast audience right now as we're trying to process Uhura's sexual assault in the Gamers of Triskelion, which it's really bummed. Let's just say we all quit Star Trek on that scene real hard.
Like, I mean, that's a bad scene. The fact that every time the providers punish them, they get choked, and it's just a bit. It's a hurt to look at.
Oh, I like
it's
that.
It's very like, I'm sorry, I watch it and I think Gene was just having a great time. Like, that's something Gene found in a sex shop and was like putting it in Star Trek. It from just what, felt yeah. weird.
From what I think Gene would be astounded that we were affected by that. He'd be like, what? They're bad guys.
I feel like
it was so distracting.
Gene was not on set for a lot of this.
Sure.
It seems to have mainly been
was
a Robert
on set and then quickly darted off set to handle
I
something?
I don't know, dude. I know he loved women in whip fights. Like, he loved... You read 50 Year Mission, right?
I've read 50 Year Mission, and I wish I didn't.
I loved it. I think about it all the time. Oh, you guys got it. Or audiobook, doing dishes, listening to interviews of just sniping at each other. Like, he hired, when he was casting Troy, Marina Sirtis was in a movie where she was in a whip fight. And he was like, God, I loved that whip fight. She was amazing. And then we're watching this and I'm like, what is with the Star Trek whip fights?
Because this is like, wait, what are the other whip fights? There's another one. The Ferengi
were whip fighters.
The Ferengi is trying to whip Tash. We've still not done The Last Outpost on this podcast. I don't know how.
Another classy episode. I mean, yes, the Uhura sexual assault scene that sets up Kirk being upset. Perhaps that could have been handled with a little different idea. But the fights in this were very funny. And the wallpaper music during the fights in that set outside is...
Yeah.
Whether we like it or not, that's very Star Trek.
And also Kirk wearing like the harness.
Oh, Kirk is just
What was with the harness?
Why has he got his shirt off?
That made me want to put Ransom in that harness so bad.
I think he'd enjoy it. So
yes, as did Kirk. They're both basically the same. Like they would love.
But his harness looks like it was bought from like a place that sells climbing supplies, you know, and then everybody else's harness at least was like silver. His just looked like somebody forgot to swap his out with a sci-fi harness. Also, what was being harnessed?
He's very serious.
Let's not ask those questions before the watershed, Mike. You know, I don't want to know what was being harnessed from Jim Kirk, really.
if he took that off, what if he took that harness off? He just starts growing bigger and bigger, like Akira or like, you know, Stregononis pasta. Like it's just going and going. And they're like, get the harness back on Kirk.
Dream? Is this your personal vision? This is my dream.
Normally I don't kink shame on the podcast. I'm going to make an exception tonight.
I don't know what kink that is, but if your body's increasing like Stregonona or as pasta or like Akira, then I guess that's cool. Like, listen, no kink shaming. You know?
Didn't you do that in a void? Why don't you do that in a Lower Decks episode?
No, that was a Willy Wonka, the girl turning into
Veruca
the blueberry.
Soul. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. We'll let you off the water.
Everybody. But, everybody does not need to watch Lower Decks half erect. You're allowed to watch it if you're not horny. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Allowed to watch Star Trek in a cold shower. It's okay, everyone.
Allow yourself to watch when you are just going to watch TV and eat soup. That's also allowed.
After prayer, before prayer, it's probably the best time. You're very grounded. You're present.
Yeah. Just don't pray during the episode. We ask.
No, don't do that.
Sometimes.
Actually, you know what actually has been bugging me about this episode for the last hour? This is a massive non sequitur, but was that civilization just three brains in a jar?
Oh, you mean three brains in a jar that when they speak, move like they've got little mouths inside the brain?
I love them. Yeah. They slay.
And one of the brains is the voice for the Mission Impossible show.
You could tell.
I read that too. He's the one that gives them the mission if you choose to accept it. Which like, that brain should have been in Mission Impossible, the green one.
Yeah. I just don't understand. Like, was that it? Is that the entire Triskelion civilization? Those three guys?
I prefer it to be that.
They're the Skellions, right? The Triskelions? Yeah.
It's like if the entirety of human civilization boiled down to three geezers at the back of a pub.
Doesn't it?
In a way.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Simpatico.
Are we simply not just three male old men in the back of a pub betting on dogs?
Yes. A classic Star Trek idea that is so sci-fi based and furthers humanity. Three glowing brains that love to bet. And then you trick them by making them bet more.
Yeah, and it worked because... they wouldn't kill each other, which was
my favorite part of the episode. Because you think like they would need Thrall. Who's like rinsing them off? Who's giving them their like
who's
spraying them with their food?
Yeah, who's spraying them with moisturizer, presumably?
Like what, like Doctor Who style, like Lady Cassandra.
Cassandra. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Someone's gonna be
I'm still baffled about their entire civilization is just betting. It's like Do you guys not want to like do any?
They became so smart, all they can do is gamble. And I think that's a great message to put out into the world. This is where we should be putting our priorities.
You see, cautionary tale. If you get too much into betting, you might need to gather one Andorian to fight with the floppiest weapons and various harnesses in a triangle.
Fun fact, one of the other guy's weapon could break in two, so it could be put through him in a shot, and they fucked up the shot so the weapons didn't align properly, so they had to cut the shot where the weapon went through him. And that might be the most peak TOS stunt thing I've ever heard. If they spent money to make a weapon
I love it. Two,
and they fucked it up.
They're just a bunch of theater kids, and I'm rooting for them.
If we're just goofing on these guys, how about that dude who shows up, who's like sort of a Dracula, but also like just an alien version of Dracula? He's like the king of the triangles, who's like, I can't remember his name, but he at one point has to walk.
What is it?
Galt, as in Atlas, Iron Jungle, Atlas Truck.
Galt, okay. So Galt at one point has to cross the room or the outdoor area. And I think they told him, make it look like you're gliding. Don't worry, your feet will be out of frame. And he's just shuffling his feet like, doot, 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 doot. And they don't take his feet out of frame. And it's the funniest looking, it is not a nefarious looking moment. It undercuts the entire episode. It made me laugh out loud.
This, I mean, that guy is
before
definitely
the art of TikTok editing
that.
Skills.
I'm just looking, and Atlas Shrugged, the world's worst book, was written in 1957. So that character is definitely named after the character.
Do you guys do that too when you're watching an episode like this and you're like, what year did this come out? And what else was happening? Like, what were people experiencing? And then they sat down and they watched this. You know what I mean?
And
like,
I'm supremely offended. I must find the perpetrators.
This is January 1968. So what happened around here? Are you ready for me to tell you what happened just after this?
I'm so scared. Hit me.
This led to it. You're not going to believe
it. The Tet Offensive.
Mm-hmm. The what?
The Tet Offensive, the largest Viet Cong offensive of the Vietnam War, happened.
Yeah, Vietnam was in full swing.
Yeah.
And people were watching this at home.
You sit down to watch this, and then Walter Cronkite comes on and is like, guys, the Viet Cong have invaded South Vietnam. That's a whiplash, I think.
God. Our green-haired co-star, pretty mesmerizing in many ways.
She's amazing. She's just like Gaga. She slays on the same level. I have heard some interesting things about her. Dom did tell me that she saw some interesting images of her. I think in the outfit, or more interestingly, out of the outfit.
Yeah, she sold naked photos in the outfit. There was like an era where I've seen this a bunch, actually, because like there were people that were in one or two episodes of Star Trek. Then they never acted again. And then the motion picture came out. And that's when the fan circuit, like the convention circuit, really picked up. And they like pulled a lot of people out of destitution and like where they were able to like pay their mortgages and like get healthcare and stuff, because they were appearing at all these things. And like, there were a lot of like, you know, if they played a sexy person on Star Trek, they'd make a fortune just printing up naked photos in a recreation of their costume. You see the Orion girls were doing that too. So definitely a part of that very weird era, you know?
The 1980s was a bad time for everyone involved.
And I would like to make an official announcement to our I Quit Star Trek listeners. You can get a signed new poster of Shahana yourself on eBay currently, which says love and breast wishes for £2,500. And it's just described as good used condition.
Oh, man.
Well, that's £2,500 or $25 currently.
So, a $100 bargain.
Yeah, I can't
worried
fault her for
the
that.
Word used there. I'm just really worried by the word used.
I can't fault her for that. Like, I think that's a part of Star Trek history, and that's like, that's actually pretty cool. Like, everything is so locked down now. Like, if you're in a show now and you try to do that, like, you can't even have a YouTube video that's like posting stuff that's too close, that hits too close to home. So like, she's going out and she's like, she's paying rent on naked photos dressed in you know, a green wig. Then like, yeah, go for it. Like, you know.
So she essentially, like, a lot of the actors cosplay as themselves? Because they couldn't just keep the outfits, I'm assuming. They're all out there.
Mm-hmm. Mike, have you seen the memo about the two wigs that went missing from season two of TOS?
No.
So basically, there's a memorandum that apparently, basically, William Shatner, the memorandum start with, William Shatner has not returned his toupee yet. We'd like it back. And also, does anyone know where Nichelle Nichols and Majel Barrett's wigs are? Because we can't find them. So my theory is that William Shatner... No, they didn't. They had to make new ones. So my theory is that William Shatner stole the wigs. And if you somewhere in a bar in South LA in the 80s, a weird bloke with a toupee on tried to flog you two wigs. By telling you how he's in this really big sci-fi show. And you had no idea what he was saying. He just wanted to shut up. He just went home with two wigs.
And I mean...
Surely we'd see Shatner wearing one of the toupees in his next film.
Oh, no, it's heavily implied that William Shatner stole the toupees just to wear when he was doing other stuff.
I believe that. Although his toupees are great. Like, when he was swimming, I think that's really him. When he's swimming in The Voyage Home, like, it really sticks to him, you know? Like, when he's in the whale tank.
Is that his hair? I thought that was his hair.
Is it?
I think that's his hair.
Maybe he had, filling surgery by then.
As a man who's missing hair, I was jealous. All right. I don't have all my hair. And I was like, whoa, that's some good looking whale swimming hair.
I mean, I would not be surprised if it was a toupee held on with super glue. It's just, he has the technology.
Yeah.
I was too distracted by how majestic Spock looked.
Didn't Gene and Majel used to sell like Screen News stuff between seasons and stuff too? Like,
yeah,
I could imagine Gene moving a couple wigs on the side, you know?
Yeah, so maybe Gene stole the wigs and just sent the memo out as a cover to be like, has anyone seen the wigs? I haven't seen the wigs, he says, selling the wigs.
There should be a board game you can get that's like Clue, but it's about who sold all the props from TOS. And, you know, at the end of it, you can be like, all right, it was Gene Roddenberry on stage 16 with the wigs. Like, that's the end of the game.
Now I'm thinking we're framing Shatner. Suddenly Gene is the supreme culprit here. He's taking it for some weird purposes.
Culprit? Businessman.
This is a man who invented a Vulcan symbol of philosophy to sell trinkets, okay?
Yeah.
Oh. Who,
he's a genius.
Who screwed, what's the name, the composer over by writing the lyrics of the
Alex
worst.
Alex Courage, was it?
Yeah, he screwed Alexander Courage over to write the worst lyrics ever put to music. Ever.
Stunning lyrics.
Alexander Courage still gets a little, his estate still gets a piece of all of the we even have to credit him in the Lower Decks.
Just for using the four credits. Notes he stole from Holst.
It's not even the... Yeah, wherever we stole those notes from, because somebody has those notes, I think that it's like the cadence. Like, the cadence was made people think of a thing. And like, they're so careful with that kind of stuff, which I get.
It's literally the Cornfield Violin Concerto. It's not even...
It's so many concertos. We've had this discussion a lot. We will have it.
Honestly, the first time I listened to that concerto, I was like, scandal. Alexandra is cancelled.
But like, on the subject of reuse, do you know the bit where with the brains, and you walk in, you're like, oh, that's... Not only is that A, clearly a backdrop, B, that's a backdrop from the episode with the Horter.
Oh, yeah.
So I went and looked it up. The dome is now actually is the dome from the worst episode of the original series, The Alternative Factor.
Wait, remind me what happens, because I want to know if I should.
That's the one with Lazarus and the multidimensional. It's the one with the only black woman with natural hair in the entirety of Star Trek, the original series.
Wait, that one with the light Masters. Blue dress.
Yes.
Oh. You know what? The fact that she's in it is enough for me.
I feel like you guys are being nicer to Star Trek than you usually are, because I'm here. I don't want you to feel like you have to change.
You need to know that I love TOS so much. It's honestly trapped. It has me in a chokehold. I can't escape.
I mean, you're probably aware, Mike.
What's your favorite episode? Get out of here, John. I want to ask Livet. I know you don't know
Fox. Who I am. Spock's brain. I like Arena, okay? I'll be honest. I'm a Gorn fan. I like the weird episodes. Arena, Spock's brain. What's the one where they're in the mental asylum and they have the fabulous Andorian?
Whom gods destroy. Garth of Izod.
Yeah, he's wearing. I like Private Little War. Feather.
Yes, Private Little War is a good episode. Mabenga's there. It's about the Cold War.
Yeah,
it goes a bit weird. Cowboy and Indian. That's bad.
It gives a little weird. Like, let's just give these guys rifles. There's Mugatos. The
Klingons. What's the one where the? It's great.
What's the one where the witch has the little pewter Enterprise she holds over the candle and Scott?
That the only Halloween episode. We're not
that
counting.
Episode rules.
I like TOS was the first Star Trek I ever watched, and somehow I stayed. So yeah, it's a weird story.
How was that your first one?
I was on Netflix at random. I was like, I'm gonna watch this 60s show, ironically, because I'm like so cool.
And now you're here forever. I just realized that Private Little War isn't my problematic fave. My problematic fave is the Land of Troyes for having the only good Starship combat sequence in the entire show.
Interesting.
Oh yeah,
I see that. I see
it's
that.
It's the only one
episode that bore the ship talk drop because you were loving it.
It's our fourth episode, Mike. It's an hour and 40 minutes long, and 40 minutes is me and the guest is talking about starships. And Olivia just sitting in increasing
I'm
horror.
Not going to learn about the starships. I'm not going to learn the deets. If a ship looks cool, I'm going to learn its name.
I literally said we're having Thomas Barone on to do a Starship episode and you dipped out. I was like, do you want to come over with Thomas Barone? You went,
no. That was one of your like specialists. John has his specialist episodes where he does like history stuff.
And then you get to talk about Neelix.
I'm here to talk about
I like Neelix.
Amazing dresses.
Okay, you like Neelix, Mike? Okay, we're over. We're done. It's the end.
I used to not know as much about the ships, but after Lower Decks, I've learned so much more that like has filled in my knowledge where I'm like to the point of which where I've worked with the Okudas on like between season one and two, making sure that we updated the Cerritos design slightly so that like in the future, everything really made sense. And we had Michael Okuda build us a usable map of the Cerritos we put on screen sometimes in the show.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the going through the tunnels episode and the deflector. That was really
right. I wanted them to dig through the ship a little bit, but it's also like Stand By Me where they're on like, oh, now they're wading through water. And now they're like, instead of the trestle bridge, now they're like behind the deflector dish, you know, like, I like Starfleet ships as a
city. And I love you getting into the whole thing with actual ships. We're just behind all the nice corridors. It's just a hellhole. And
some of it's a hellhole. Some of it has a dead Dupler in it.
And some of it is just relationship problems being solved for machine guns, which is great.
Yeah, you know, you got to blow off some steam on that holodeck. And look, neither of them are from Earth, so it's really just like alien cosplay for them. You know,
it's basically what they're just watching Star Trek.
They're enjoying Star Trek. They're living Star Trek.
And yeah,
it's been a long road for them.
I mean,
I feel like we have to address the moment in the episode where Kirk slaps Shahana because what's going on here?
It's like, is he doesn't
it's the kiss
her?
Slap.
It's a kiss slap, which is just weird.
It's a kiss slap. He knocks her out cold. I mean, he's worse than the Try Guy. What was that?
Like, I wanted to see Chekhov, like, how did Chekhov overpower the Lisa Simpson woman who's almost a foot taller than him?
Why is the Kirk slap so much more believable than the whipping or the stabbing or the everything? Like, why are they so accurate at kissing than hitting a woman and so inaccurate at everything else? I mean, the answer is
it was the 60s.
Dare I say the other ventures are more dangerous? They've done it more realistically to whip someone.
We're terrible people.
Cancelled myself.
This is how we get sued by William Shatner again.
Oh,
that kiss up happened, and I was like, ah! My wife went, I've seen that gif.
He's done that many times. That's not the first time he's slapped someone.
I mean, basically, there's several episodes of TOS in which people are like, oh, Kirk has sexual tension with him. This is Kirk trying to coerce him to getting what he wants, which usually involves them not killing him. Yeah, Mike, you have to go soon. So, Olivia, should we bother him with personal fan questions?
I once again want to pitch the protagonist, Lower Decks Olivia. I just think she has a certain pizzazz that will really encourage the audience, you know, on a new level. Basically, she'll be perfect. I think that's what really audiences aspire to. Just a really perfect person who makes no mistakes also.
That's famously a Lower Decks. Famously, Lower Decks is about hyper competence. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, didn't you already call dibs on a background character that you decided was Olivia in the show, if I remember?
Yes, that's
Lower Decks Olivia is what I've named.
I hope nothing terrible happens to her. Oh, that would be... Oh, no.
Will burn Star Trek to the ground.
Yeah, but you just say that. You say I've
said that many times. I say that weekly, if I'm being honest, but one day.
I think Lower Decks Olivia is still knocking around the Cerritos. She's still splashing around with Kimmelu and Matt, you know, doing her thing. A pretty flawed character, though. She's got some dark past. She's a pretty problematic character. Okay. You know,
this can work.
Listen,
I'm pretty excited for the episode that centers on her, so that there's like a lot of intense discussion about how somebody so shockingly problematic could even be in Starfleet.
I mean, it was the Dominion War.
It's all the same to me.
I mean, I don't really have any questions except that you've done something really incredible. I'm sure you've heard that a lot, but like, as I do remember, like, just being like, Star Trek could really do with an animated comedy, like, about 5 years ago, and then now it's here, and it's incredibly successful, and I've had people... It's genuinely weird that, like, as a historian, I know historians who, like, come up to me and be like, oh, I watched Lower Decks, and now I've watched Star Trek again. It's like, oh.
Oh, that's cool.
I didn't think that was how you get back into Star Trek, but that's really good to hear.
You know, actually, I see people who check out Lower Decks, and they've never seen Star Trek, and they're like, I'm gonna check out more Star Trek, which is kind of what I was hoping would happen, but like, the show is really made primarily for me, like a maniac, and then hopefully with people who, you know, my friends who, like, you know, we hang out at a bar and we talk about Star Trek and then we talk about other stuff, but like, it's that kind of tone of like, oh, we all love this thing, but it's only worth doing a comedy version if we're also doing a real version simultaneously, you know. I do really love making it. I do really feel lucky that you guys like it. I can't wait for you guys to see the Deep Space Nine episode that comes out.
I mean,
am I gonna cry? Just
for various things. I mean, it's great.
I might cry.
Have you seen it?
I side dabble for TrekCore, so
I forgot John's seen it.
I love TrekCore.
This has caused a rift in the podcast.
Yeah. I did TrekCore Strange New Worlds reviews, which was very fun. I'm very glad they asked me to do that.
Oh, nice.
I've seen up to episode 8. I have not told Olivia anything, but it's just made her upset anyway.
Oh, episode 8 is such a trip too.
Episode 8 is...
It's so crazy.
You guys, I just want to know how much booze was in that room.
You know, we like to do an episode every season, which completely changes the format of the show. Like, the trial episode, the episode where they're doing the drills. You know, like, they're doing all the drills in the holodeck. And then this episode, oh, and Three Ships was kind of one of those too, Wej Douche. Mm. I'm excited for the Deep Space Nine episode because, weirdly, like, I think people have projected a little bit that I'm going to do an entire season of Deep Space Nine in it, which, bless their hearts. I love you for that.
Everyone's like, oh, well, I did see people being like, oh, I can't wait to see what they've been up to for the last 9 years. It's like, you have 20 minutes. Like,
6 years, 6 years. We're only 6 years out from the end of Deep Space Nine.
If you have somehow brought back Sisko, then I think it's a wrap. No. We'll never reach another peak.
There's a lot of people wishing for stuff, but I will say, remember, Lower Decks is a show about lower deckers, and then what should be the A story is a C runner. And I think that when you see this episode and there's a full Deep Space Nine episode happening, and our leads don't really get to do much in it, it's happening around them, I hope nobody comes for me, but I feel like it works really well. I love the music Chris did for it.
What you've done, I mean, what I've seen of it, I will not talk about till tomorrow evening when I get off work, but really good. There's some stuff in it I will probably actually one of the A plots I'll probably actually end up talking about when we do some stuff we want to talk about with, like, identity and multiracialness in this Trek, which we've always wanted to talk about on this podcast. I enjoyed that.
If you like that, there's some great stuff season four. Because we're writing the finale of season four right now. I love season four. It's like, tonally, the whole season feels a little bit like Wej Douche, like, in a fun way.
Oh,
without getting too much into it, which is cool. And you haven't seen 9 and 10 of season three yet.
Nobody has. Only production has.
It's 9 and 10 are a blast. I can't wait for you guys to see it. I love this season.
I mean, if you're following, you know, the 1, 2, 3, you have to blow the 3 to someone that can try in circumstance.
It's so funny. Like, I think one of my favorite episodes, like we always go big at the end of the seasons, right?
Yeah.
And then my favorite episode, like, it's hard to pick a favorite, but one of my favorite episodes this season is one that already aired, is the one with the space elevator with Ransom. And
oh, that was great. Where you did the Star Trek 09 jump.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mariner's falling asleep while she's skydiving, and the planet is ruled simultaneously by a computer, a volcano, an ascension, and a telepathic baby. Like, I don't know.
This was the one with Cher Olivia.
Oh,
Most recent with Cher Olivia, which I begged my wife to let us name our cat that, and she wouldn't do it.
Good for her.
But thank you guys for being such fans of the show and for being so vocal. And I truly do love making it and feel very lucky that I keep getting to do so. Okay. So,
yeah. Thanks for coming on. This has been absolutely a blast. People want to annoy us. Don't annoy Mike. He's got things to do. People want to annoy us. Come bother us at Quit Star Trek Pod on Twitter. Email us at iquitstartrek@gmail.com. Buy our merch. It won't get taken down by Paramount for copyright strike because they can't copyright strike
anymore.
All the profits go to the Trevor Project, which is great. Sponsor us on Patreon. Oh, and use the money to buy things like shirts or suits and crystals, which I did today anyway. Mike, I'd say, do you need to plug anything? But I don't know.
No, just keep watching Star Trek. Watch old Star Trek. Watch new Star Trek. I love Star Trek. I love your own conversations about it.
What an insidious message. How dare.
Lower Decks still airing. I'm going to be at New York Comic Con for Solar Opposites. Oh, watch Solar Opposites. My other show too. It's on Hulu.
Solar Opposites is fantastic.
I love it.
Season 2.
Everything about the people who live in the wall is hilarious to me.
Sorry about killing that mouse first season. That was on purpose to make everybody sad. It worked too well. I'm sorry. And then yeah, I can't wait for Mission. Is it in Seattle? I want to go to Mission Seattle too. So I hope I see everybody there.
I mean,
I really want to go.
We will go. Will our money be worth anything by Mission Seattle?
I know. If the pound hasn't turned into dust by then, hopefully
we'll pay with Quatloos.
Yes, we're so into Quatloos.
But yeah, thank you so much. And until next time, folks, don't kiss and slap Lady Gaga. Don't do it.
Oh, yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
It's a great message.
Don't kiss and slap anybody.
Yeah, don't do any.
Pick a lane.
Just don't do either of those things.
Are we in that order? This is awesome.
So uncool to kiss then slap. Or the other way around.
I mean, that's not kink shame, but we'll save that for another time. Good night, everyone.
Bye. Good night.